This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050, online tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got the Wheel of Misfortune in about a half an hour. So we'll spin the wheel and we'll see who we hear from and what we're playing this afternoon. I get very excited for this now. Very excited. I used to love Jerry. I still do love Jerry, and we did
no,
that
you
for
don't.
A long time.
You don't. Don't act like you love Jerry. It was time for Jerry to go, and you booted his. You said, "Watch your door." No, what's the saying? Watch your ass on the door on the way out, Jerry.
No, don't let the door hit you in the ass
right.
on the way out. No.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
And I was the same way with Jerry. Yeah, it's just you never know with that guy.
No way.
So a little doses here and there.
He's still going to be kicking around.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Don't worry. The Wheel of Misfortune, it's a lot of support for it, I think.
I love him. I love him, and I think the Wheel of Misfortune is amazing.
I think it's been going pretty well. We don't pat ourselves on the back a lot on this show.
No.
But
we sound like the idiots on Twitter who quote tweet, this drives me nuts. They quote tweet compliments and say, hey, thanks very much for getting yeah. You know, the
funny.
Guys where they were like, hey, that was an awesome job, and they quote yeah. tweet the whole thing and they write on top of it, hey, thank you so much, man. I'm telling you, quote tweeting, you should be thrown in jail for
I did it sarcastically last night because some guy came at
I
me
saw
with,
that.
With a great sarcastic tweet because I just pointed out something that admittedly was a vanilla matter of fact.
Terrible
anyone that
tweet.
Was watching. Really, it was a completely unnecessary, wasted tweet. Just when Marner went cross ice to Matthews and he went bar down, that was a beautiful play. Like it was.
Yeah, it was
so Marner
play.
Drew in the box a little bit, you know, tape to tape. Matthews has got a bomb from that. No one's stopping that. Nobody on earth is stopping that. So I tweet that out. No one's stopping that. Perfect pass, perfect shot, good luck. Again, completely unnecessary, adds nothing to the app. And
right.
and some guy comes back and goes, wow, you're dialed in, Hayes. That's a great point you made. And I had to respond because it caught me off, and I was laughing. I'm like, that's, yeah you're
like,
right.
I looked- had to spice that one up, too, and I think I responded, Noodles gets blocker on that shot.
Yes, you did.
Right.
And I think I agree with you. I think Noodles comes across, your post-to-post game was elite.
It was elite.
I laughed about it because I was like, how would I even react? I would have probably been on my knees thinking Marner shooting that puck because he frees the goalie. Then you seam it. Now it's the dive over. I don't know if you guys can see me. It's the
yeah.
dive over
the
with
Superman
the hands.
Save.
Yeah, the Superman. And then you know, you're fishing it out. I thought, you know what, Johnny asked me an interesting question because the Marner to Matthews play was, I guess if you're in net, it's left to right. And then Lindholm had the play that was on his stick, and Freddie made the big glove save on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same play, but just the other way, right to left. And I said, well, the glove is a little bit easier to reach across where you get to the blocker. But I said the execution of Lindholm compared to Matthews was a half second. Matthews was a half second quicker. And the goalie just doesn't have a
chance.
That's
what I see as a difference, right?
Right.
Like that,
it's the execution.
Matthews gets that off and puts it on a
right.
dime. Like they're,
yeah.
It's just, you can't, no one can stop that. And I don't think anyone can shoot like that as a left-handed shot. Like Ovi has set up there forever as a one-timer, but he's a right-handed shot. So
right.
you're kind of squaring up. And here I am playing goalie 101. But you kind of know Ovi's just bringing power at you. But Matthews is taking it a little bit further away from the center of the net, and he's going bar down. I just don't
Dude,
know how to get across.
It's as good as release as you can get.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
I mean, I played
too.
On the same line as the president of the team, and he used to have one of the best six. I think he scored 600 goals.
Yeah,
he did.
Yep.
And I don't know. That's as good as it gets, man. I'll probably
no, that's
hear, he'll probably have something to say.
But
off your stick so quick.
That's as good as it gets.
Bar down, see you later. Like, there's just yeah. there's nothing he can do.
No.
And, you know, like the Marner goal. That's what worked for him was he just got it off so quick.
I got to be honest. You're right. Credit to Mitch Marner. I didn't like Jacob Markstrom's game. Like, I thought that was a stop. By his standards, that's a stoppable puck. By right. Marner's standards, like, good for Mitch Marner, like, that game-winning goal, and he's been wanting to shoot more. But if I'm in Calgary today, I'm disappointed in the goaltender.
I was disappointed in everything, Noodles. It was such a, like, I had high hopes, and I was like, okay, Calgary. Like, not that we put everything together for Al's brother's pro rankings, but I'm like, this Calgary team, they're going to be up top. They got this Markstrom. I think they dummied Vancouver a couple times at home there. And I was looking forward to seeing what they got, and it was just inconsistent, and Markstrom was a bit of a letdown. I guess it's just catching them at the wrong time.
Well, yeah.
A month from now, they'll probably be dialed in. But as far as the Leafs' two-game visit in Calgary, they were a letdown.
Yeah, Calgary didn't look that great.
No.
You know, and like, we haven't mentioned Edmonton yet. They lost again last night. They're 3-5. They're
I heard Noodles on SportsCenter last night, Hayes. He was, yeah. And it's like, how many times is it going to be an analyst on SportsCenter saying, attention to detail?
They had a meltdown there.
Well, and I think their schedule did catch up to them. They had four games at 6-9. Now they're going to go 5-7 against the Leafs. Like, they had nothing in the third. And Winnipeg, I keep telling you, Winnipeg's going to be
good.
First.
Winnipeg
they're going to be
good.
First in this division. I'm
okay,
telling
you're
you.
Sticking to it, and you should at this
I'm
point.
Not.
They're third.
They are a good team. Like, they okay. are legit and deep. But, well, I mean, we got to get to Dottie. But, yeah, let's get into that later.
Oh, well, let's bring it up right now. Let's put him on the spot. Mr. Objective, you know, the host. No one does it better, James Dottie. We need a take out of you right off the bat. Who wins the division in Canada?
I would say, from what I've seen so far, the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens. Do I have to pick one?
Of course. You run the quiz. You don't accept those type of answers.
I think Montreal looks like the best team I've seen.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's tossy-crossy because we're 8 games in, and I thought the Leafs have looked excellent too. But Montreal, I mean, they have a 0 in the L column if you don't count the OTLs. And Carey Price, I believe, has a 8.93 save percentage or something and a 3.15 goals against, and they're 4-0-2. So once he rounds into Carey Pricey form, there could be issues for the rest of the division.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, it's a great point, but I also think the numbers are going to be inflated early on anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just ugly. Like, you're seeing goals every night. Like, this is what we expected, right? Like, Hayes, you take the over all the time.
He has 8 points in 3 games.
Yeah.
He's up near the scoring lead. They've played 3 games in Dallas.
Yeah, you're right.
It's true. And again, we keep focusing on the Canadian division, but I was looking at that last night. The Leafs are giving up under 3 goals a game, which is not like some benchmark that you should be overly impressed by. You know, like, the best defensive teams in history are well below that. But the other teams in their division, I think short of Calgary, are all at 3 or 3+, you know, and
4. Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
an issue right now. Defensive play is an issue. It's fun
it's great,
for fans.
Though I so wish that this would be the way of the world. We're never going to eliminate the preseason because they want the box offices in all their respective towns. But I just love this coming out of the gate with 5-4 games every second night and starting the schedule September 23rd or something like that and handing out the Stanley Cup on May 27th in a non-pandemic year. These are the things that I fantasize about. How pathetic is that?
Yeah. Well, you're not alone, buddy. There's 4 pathetic middle-aged men on this show right now that have
Well,
the
there was
dreams.
A comment yesterday that I thought that was pathetic, Hayes, and now I want to talk to the man. James, can you talk about how special that Hockey Hall of Fame induction night is for you? Because I heard the Hall of Fame being described as a barn with plaques in it by someone on this show yesterday.
Wow.
Not me.
Wow.
So, James, I know that you take a lot of pride in the presentation. Can you just describe how special that evening is?
Yes, I think it's one of the most it's the most prestigious event of the year. It's probably the most nervous I get doing any event of the year. Not that there's, you know, a million people watching at home, but it's intimidating because of the crowd that's in front of you. So you stand at that podium, and not only do you have all the Hall of Famers in front of you, but you have about 50 other Hall of Famers in the crowd. And then, you know, Bettman is there, and Berkey, and usually O-Dog's best buddy, Rene Fasel. Right? And
with his mustache.
Yeah, and you don't, by the way, there's no reactions from any of them. I remember they decided one year to bring Jerry D in and do during commercial breaks. Jerry would come out and do comedy, and we know how, you know, Jerry's a really funny guy. And Jerry was struggling because, and I used to try to tell, not jokes, but, you know, I used to try to be witty, I guess, a couple of times in that show. And all I would see is, like, Berkey's face and Bettman's face just staring up at me.
No, it's just not the night for it.
Lou Lamoriello,
but that's
Steve
my point.
Eiserman.
That's my point.
You get nothing. And so I about 4 years ago, I said to the guys, I'm like, I'm just going straight 100%. There will not be a single attempt for me to get a smile out of anyone. I'm just going to get through as straight as I can.
Well, I was the person in question here, and
Miles,
I did
do you
say,
have what he said, Miles? Do you have what
I
he said?
I didn't say
or...
barn with plaques.
Yeah.
Like,
said
we talk about Hall of Fames like they're so precious and they need to be, you know, handled right. with kid gloves. They're not. It's a hall with some plaques in there.
Oh.
But that's it. That's quite literally what it is. And the point I was getting to was actually Duffy just made my point for me. It's the Hall of Fame, guys. Like, this isn't some communal that is going to determine the fate of a war criminal. You can't tell a joke. Jerry D's right. out there telling jokes. Not in the mood. We're at the Hall of Fame. This is a sacred place. How dare you? And that's my point, is we treat it as if it's this place of sanctity that you, how dare you, you know, come in unwashed, or how dare you, you know, not have a tuxedo on. Guys,
it's
a hall with some plaques in there.
It's a hall with some plaques in there.
Let's relax a little bit.
I knew what you meant, Hayes, but, like, I always felt like these shows.
I knew what you meant.
No, I knew what he meant. I didn't take it like
it.
Well, no, because, oh, you were like, it's not a barn with some plaque. I understood.
Yeah,
like,
Rene Fussell over here. He loves the hall.
What Hayes was pointing to is it wasn't the end-all, be-all. Like, you know, it wasn't the Vatican. And that's, you know, I took it that way. I just
but
feel
you,
like a lot of these
shows. Don't you think we take it for granted, though, a little bit? It's in Toronto, Hayes. It's in your town. You could walk there anytime. You know, for people that make... If you went to Canton, would you feel the same way?
Well, we were talking about Cooperstown, and I have been to Cooperstown, and it's a great museum. I don't dispute the historical artifacts. The actual museum and the events that come with it are awesome. That wasn't where I was going with the topic. I was talking about voters and thinking that it's, like, so important.
Not Notre Dame Cathedral or
it's
whatever.
It's just not.
Right?
You're not placing someone in the White House. You're putting them in the Hall of Fame. And
James, don't you think that's the typical answer for a guy that has no chance of going into the Hall of Fame? Like, I'm pretty sure if you ask anybody in the Hall of Fame, they'd say, that is the most proud I've ever been to my career. And this bozo in Whitby, Ontario, saying it's a hall with plaques.
It's a hall with some plaques in there. It's a literal description.
The Great Hall.
It's quite literal.
And I would say, I mean, I was right on this one, where to the players, when I get to see them up on that stage, it is like that night, maybe the physical, you can make an argument that the physical plant, plus it's kind of, you know, it's right off of a mall, that, which is, you know, doesn't add to the eloquence of it. But for the guys who go in and the women who go into that hall, like, that is, like, you can tell those nights, like, how momentous it is in their life, that they're almost crushed under the weight of what this thing is. And just talking about what it means to other people, like, there are people that make pilgrimages, you know, to Toronto. You know, they'll probably take in a Leaf game while they're here, but to go to the Hall of Fame. One of my favorite stories Brian Trottier told me is that Trotch on like Hall of Fame weekend, he hadn't been in for a while, so he said, you know what, I would go look at my plaque again. And he gets to his plaque, and there's like four guys with Trotch jerseys around his plaque, and they made like a pilgrimage from Long Island to go watch the Islanders in Toronto and go make a pilgrimage to their favorite player's plaque. And he kind of taps them on the shoulder and goes, hey guys, and they're like, what? This is the Hall of Fame. The real Hall of Famers are always here. So I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, listen, I'm not here to rain on a Hall of Famers
parade. Feels like
parade.
You're ripping the Hall of Fame to shreds.
It's a hall with some plaques in there, completely inaccurate. And I'm going to get blacklisted now. I'm going to get an email from, like, Kelly.
Well,
Masson.
I will say this. Like,
I can't wait to hear this. Replacing the Hall of Fame's speeches, James Duthie this year, is Brian Hayes. And it's just going to be boo! Boo!
Right. That would give it some life, though.
I'd come out with some heat. lead, and I'd be telling jokes. You better laugh at them too.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with Lou. Let's see. You know what? Chris Rock, Richard Pryor in his prime could not get a laugh out of
exactly
Lou Lamoriello.
Do you remember what Lou said to me on the show where I was like, "You've got great suits," and he was like, "Oh, Jamie, like you know," he was rattled that I brought up his suits on
his
the
personal
show.
Personal life. It's not even personal.
You know what? Lou is a great guy. The last year on trade deadline, I asked him, I don't know if you guys remember this, but they made a deal. I can't remember what it was. And we have Lou Lamoriello on the line, and I asked him sort of a tough question. I'm like, Lou, you know, how do you explain this? and the phone went dead. And everybody thought that he was doing the old, sorry, I can't hear you real. And he just hung up. And so everyone was laughing because they thought Lou just, like, pretended he couldn't hear me, and that was that. And he actually wrote me a nice note and called me afterwards to say, oh, I wouldn't, sorry, dogs, I would never hang up on you. I would never do that to you, James. Hey, Hugo.
What kind of kennel are you running over there?
Well, I have three dogs, and I try to shut the office door when I go on radio, and unfortunately they barge through. And I have one dog, by the way. I went to the vet yesterday. I got one dog who's blind, and they say his eye is going to rupture at any second.
Oh.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like a horror movie. And the other dog has lost the use of its back legs. They're running around uncontrollably, so it's an absolute. I'm going to end up. Remember what was the movie where the dog ended up with the wheels? Is that like a Jennifer Lopez movie? The dog had a little cart on the back to get him around.
Just a little cart.
Yeah. I'm going to have one dog. They're going to have to take out his eye, so he's going to be a pirate dog, and then I'm going to have another one with wheels on the back. That's my life right
Look
now.
Look at you, the James Duffy kennel. I like.
Anyway,
it.
Sorry about the distraction. My wife has kindly come in and removed the dog.
The thing
room.
Is about Lou. You bring up Lamoriello and. You and I have been doing interviews forever, and he's always willing to accept the invitation. Like, always. Like, he'll always come on. And I have such a great appreciation for that because we've been turned down so many times by other people.
I like him a lot. I was always sort of intimidated by him, but I find him just to be, just this, like one of the classiest guys around.
Yep.
In Beauties, there's a chapter about Cole Bardreau, who scored a goal after breaking his neck and came back and scored on a penalty shot, his first goal in the NHL last year. And, you know, Lou writes, like, sends me a note just to say how nice it was to include an Islander in the book. And nobody else does that, right?
Right.
I mean, there's somebody on your panel that slams the book every time he has a chance.
Right.
You were tweeting about the book. I thought you said after Christmas, no more.
I did not tweet about the book. I tweeted about the podcast, which is still out there and is allowed. I can continue to promote the podcast because it's an active event.
That's right. It's new content. We support that.
By the
sure.
way, the publishers were in contact with me today begging for Beauties too. So you get ready.
Dude, do not do that. People are going to be like, I'm sick of this guy. That's enough.
I think they've already passed that level.
Just space it
you
out.
You can't
space
do it. You got to give it five years
him,
and then you
him,
do
I
Beauties
said, give
too.
It a couple of years and
no,
maybe.
I actually think you should double down. You know why?
No.
Because it is. Here's why. It's because that premise has at least 10 to 15
franchise.
Volumes.
We're just gonna
it's a franchise
it out,
because
right?
all it is stories.
Yeah.
Like
Noodles, the worst
is
part is, the worst part is, Noodles, I'm so sick of this guy and his book, and I'm working with a designer renovating my condo, and she's designing, like, the lighting and things behind me, what's going to be there. And she grabs it. She goes, you should put some nice hockey books. And she reaches and grabs something. She goes, like this one. My dad loves this book. I go, what is that? She holds it up. It's Beauties. I said, put that down. And that is not going behind me on the stupid thing. No
I
way.
So. Yeah. Love
I
that.
Don't blame you.
You gotta
you're
have
in
it.
The book.
Yeah, you're in the book. You should love that. It's like being in the Hall of Fame. Look at you. Just a bunch of pages.
If we get to Beauty 7, if we get to Beauty 7, there will be a chapter with a haze Barry Colt story.
I've got
casino.
Casino.
That's what you should do. Ask me about the casino days.
Well, maybe that might be beauty
that's
too. Then
compelling literature. I'm telling you right now.
I guarantee, as the pit boss, you had a celebrity walk through your door at some point. There's
a local
probably
celebrity.
Somebody there.
A local celebrity.
Yeah, a local B-list celebrity walked through at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. he was at the tables. He was playing quarter limits. At my little dinky casino. So some news today in the NHL that Jim Rutherford, the GM down in Pittsburgh, just decided to resign. And, you know, it would appear as if something went on between him and the team or ownership, because he's getting out there and speaking with some media members saying it's not health-related, I'm not retiring. So if I'm putting two and two together, that's what I would assume happened. Something went down with either a trade he wanted to make, a contract he wanted to have, something along those lines.
There has to be a story, because I don't think you don't, especially a guy like Jim Rutherford, who especially probably knows him better than anyone. But that guy really seemed to love the gig as much as any GM I've met in the business. You know, even being at when I'm ever at a Pittsburgh game, whether it be Cup Final or whatever, and he walks in with his entourage behind him, of, you know, the assist when Rex was there in his day, and he just loved running a franchise. And so there, I'm with you, Hayes. I just don't think you decide, you know, I'm tired and I want to rest suddenly early in a season. That just doesn't seem right. So I'm sure the story will come out. Obviously, he's not sharing it right now. The LeBron interview that I saw seemed to just be, yeah, I'm walking away. It's nothing health related. I'll see what I want to do down right. the line. But there has to be and it's a blow for us, because he's one of the great trade center.
Great interview. Great interview.
Not only interviews, but trade center GMs. So Jimmy Rutherford is the most consistent deliverer of trades on Trade Center. He's like an MVP 2 out of every 3 years. So we'll miss him.
Well, I thought one other thing on this, guys, is, if they're the ownership of the people above him are looking at budgets and all of that type of stuff, because Pittsburgh's, I'm sure, been hit very hard. I wonder if there's a plan to move, you know, into the next phase, and that's past Malkin, past Crosby, you know, not right now, but probably in the next little bit at some point. If things,
I don't
go...
think it was about little right now, Jamie, or like down the road. I think it was a right now thing. When he comes out and they say, "Is there an issue with ownership?" and Jimmy comes out and says, "I don't want to get into that." That basically means he's got nothing nice to say. So there's obviously some kind of disconnect with where the team is at right now, or like you said, what's going forward. Or they didn't like the direction. Because for him to say, "I'm not getting into that," that means he has nothing nice to say. So
I would interpret that the same way. And how desirable is that job? We touched on it a bit in the earlier portion of the show, where, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, it was A+, like the gig you'd want. You're walking into guaranteed cups. Now, I don't know if they are.
I think it still is, only because Sid and Malkin still have, you know, they're at the back end of their prime, but... And it's still a prestigious organization in the National Hockey League. So I still think it is, but you're right. The cupboard, I haven't looked at their draft picks, but it feels like they trade a first or second rounder every year for something. So I have to think the cupboard's a little bit bare for the next few years down the road. So this is right at the tail end of the window right here. Like maybe a couple of years. He's been a great tweaker for the past, you know, 5-6 years now, but this is it. I think it's a couple years, and then it's rebuild on again, and they win the lottery and get the first overall
right,
pick,
exactly.
Which they always seem to do.
Sidney McDavid, Lemieux.
That's true.
And everything will just cycle back. I mean, it's outrageous that they have Mario and Sid.
And don't you think this is all planned out? That I don't know how long Sid's going to play for. Let's say he plays 4 more years, and then he goes into ownership. And it's the same, you know, circle.
Yeah, he's
of life,
not leaving
right?
Pitt. Yeah, that's his town. That's exactly what's going to happen. It'll be cyclical. It'll be exactly what Lemieux did for the most part, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. Good stuff as always. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
There he is, James Duthie from TSN Hockey, and the host of the Hockey Hall of Fame induction, which I'm a big supporter of. I've been down many times, and I look forward to
getting back. It's
a
hall with some plaques in there.
I love it.
Get some clips of, like, a comedian just bombing and people booing him and stuff.
That would be so painful. How much would that suck for Jerry D's? Like, I'm out here, you know, why do I need to be here? To make you guys laugh and everyone's so serious.
Dude, that is not – I totally agree with Duthie. That is no place for any kind of joke. That is
why
the most
not?
Straight-faced, but, serious
why,
hockey.
But
why?
It should be. It should be funny, but I think...
Yeah, can you imagine going up there and saying, "Why'd the chicken cross the road?" and looking down
at
Lou Lamoriello?
That's the kind of jokes It's a hey Google, tell me a joke. That's the Jerry D comedy routine.
Dude, I mean, what are you gonna say to make people laugh at a hockey game?
My point is all of these award shows, they're forced laughter anyways.
Right.
I would prefer that just go up and do
Thank you very much.
If you want, who's the guy? Ricky Gervais? Hire that guy. Because that guy will come in and he'll cross the line, he'll piss everyone off, but he's brilliant and he doesn't care.
Here's what I don't like about now I'm really going to get into it. Here we go. Now the doors are open.
It's a hole with some plaques in there.
No, here's. Let me finish.
You'd be like, hey, fat ass, you put on some weight over the years, and then it's just...
I would say that. I'm fine with you not giving me the gratuitous laugh. Okay,
dude,
it's not going
to
happen.
If you keep doing that with your hands, I'm going to drive to your house.
I'm so happy right now. My hands are... It's a whole new game. I am just bringing so much to the table here with this chair, and I love it.
It's like I feel like I'm 14. I'm getting interviewed for my first job. Yeah. I just want to break both of your wrists.
I feel like a GM in the OHL. I feel like. You're a ninth round pick. Take a seat right there. So what do you think you can bring to the table? Here's the gratuitous laugh is selective at the Hall of Fame, because the player that gets up there that isn't naturally funny, that drops a forced joke, everyone gives it the big laugh. Like, oh yeah, that's really funny. It's like, if you're going to give the gratuitous laugh to the Hall of Famer to make him or her feel a little bit more comfortable, hook up Duffy with a laugh. You know, why can't you laugh at James's, you know,
G-rated joke? And he's clever. The problem is a lot of it is forced, and the people that are reading the jokes, that they're not comedians, so they don't have comedic timing or anything or the confidence to deliver the joke properly. So don't do it.
There's a lot of nervous energy in there. A lot of nervous injury. I understand it. I get it. Listen, I've been to the Hall of Fame many times. I look forward to getting back in there.
It's a hall with some plaques in there.
And fans, send us some material for Hayes. If you think he could get up, come up with a joke at Hayes TSN, at Overdrive. Come up with a routine that would make the Hall of Fame laugh. I'd love to hear it.
I've got some audio that I think would... I don't think it would bomb. I think if you played this tape back to back, you would get a roaring applause. Go ahead.
Agreed.
You said, watch your door. No, what's the saying? Watch your ass on the door on the way out.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
You basically went Tommy Boy. Basically went Tommy Boy. You butchered the saying.
I thought you were George Bush there for a second.
There was an element of... there's an old saying back in
Give
Texas.
Us Georgie Bush. Give us Georgie
fool
Bush.
Me. Shame on you. What? It's an old saying. And
yeah, we always...
it, Tennessee? We put
Mullen on...
there's
the
an
spot.
Old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
You said, watch your door. No, what's the saying? Watch your ass on the door on the way out. That is just not applicable to Tommy.
You can
Flux.
Get a good look at a butcher's...
hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
All right, the Wheel of Misfortune will be spun. Who are we going to hear from this week? We'll find out next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, it is. Every Wednesday at 5:30, the Wheel of Misfortune. We spin it, and we never know who we're going to hear from. It could be Nicolas Cage, could be your boy, John Ferguson Jr., or it could be Jerry.
Right? John Ferguson Jr., and the first person that tweets out he's up for the pit job, I blocked him.
I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. There's a vacancy, and I got to think Fergie is making calls. He's probably got Mario Lemieux on speed dial.
One person tweets out JFJ is in the running for the pit job. I'm blocked.
It'll be there. You know that's happening.
It's not happening.
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
He'll always be like, I came in third place or second place for that job. That's what it is.
A couple of guys who always just somehow miss out.
I actually think there's people that ask, like, can you say that I'm involved in that, or I'm kind of... It's like, are you kidding me?
How does that benefit them. I guess you
no
get
kidding,
the word of
there's
mouth
been
out
some
there,
situations but in the last calendar year where I'm like, there is no way in hell that that person's getting this job. So why is that information public? It's not happening. So
the Florida
stop it.
One was ridiculous. The list of potential candidates out there in Florida
Al's
was absolutely ridiculous. And then out of nowhere, they hire Bill Zito. And Bill Zito was the guy that they wanted all along.
Right. Yeah.
But you heard, you know, Al's brother and, you know, Joe
Everyone's
from the
involved.
Bridge. And, yeah, everyone was involved.
They're all getting a sit down. They're all getting a sit down.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. The Wheel of Misfortune. You guys ready to spin the wheel?
Yes.
Yep.
Why was that necessary for an introduction? What was
Snipping?
That? The gold dust, like big breathe in. It's really
I don't
creepy.
Know. Can we hear just the breathing and the cherry again, or no?
Cherry.
Okay, it's Jerry. How about that? Jerry's percentages. It's been like two weeks since we played Jerry. So
let's cut the crap.
You.
Let's cut the crap and get to the takes.
Okay, let's hear what he's got to say. I think does he have a statement? I think he's got something to say, but let's hope it's quick. Let's go, Jerry. Come on.
I'm back and better than ever, you pigeons. So sit back, relax, and bask in the majesty of Jerry.
Okay, short and sweet, cocky, arrogant.
Let's go. Let's
love
go.
It. Okay, let's play. Let's get to it.
Patrick Laine and John Tortorella get in sync, and Laine reaches superstar status in Columbus.
17%. As much as I think Patrick Laine has a lethal weapon in his arsenal, there's something missing there as far as, I don't even like using this word, like his drivetrain is, I don't know, sometimes I just don't see this relationship going well. I really don't. And I don't know who's going to pass him the puck. And I could see this one possibly blowing up again for Torts and being some kind of disaster. I don't know. I'm not confident. I want it to be good. I want Line 8 to be a star and awesome, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see it happening. I'm going to say 25%.
I'm higher on this. I think when there's a trade of this magnitude, I think the coach also factors in, like, we don't know the behind-the-scenes thing. But if this was basically just a coach versus player, Torts has to think, I've got to make this relationship work. And he's going to give Laine every opportunity. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be bumps in the road, but I think Laine will flourish there. It's a quiet market. It's not covered as half as much as it is in Winnipeg.
Who's passing on the puck?
They've got that Texier is a nice player. Like they've got some pretty good players there. I that Roslovic who that wasn't a throw in. That guy's a good player.
Okay,
like
you just mentioned them some guys that can pass the puck, but I'm
Max
not
Domi's
not
another guy.
Not at a high level. I mean, not until
I'm talking.
They prove
I'm talking a big time passer, Jamie.
No, it's not there. I mean, on the back end, it is. Werenski and Jones are spectacular players.
I'm telling you right now, I think Patrick Laine will have success in Columbus. He's going to get every opportunity. And
he will. And, he will. Yeah, no, he will.
So I'm going to go I'm 68%.
I'm lower than O on this for a couple of different reasons. I'm not sure Laine is going to get there. Like superstar puts you in like, you know, we're talking 15 guys in the league. It's arbitrary in terms of how you define a superstar. But you got to be like a stud, and I'm not sure he's going to get there. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's been way too inconsistent for me. And furthermore, even if he jives with Tortorella, I think that probably means he's coming closer to Tortorella than Tortorella's coming to him. What I mean by that is he's probably going to have to sacrifice a little bit of, you know, his game. And I just don't know if that's conducive with superstardom. 30 goals, 65 points, that's not a superstar. It might be a winner. You know, and he's got to make that call. Are you in it to win it, or are you in it to be a guy who's pursuing 50 every year, trying to win a rocket? That's something he's going to have to discuss with himself and with Tortorella and others. But I'll say 15% because the talent is there. You can't dispute the talent.
Right.
But he's got to click in the next 2 or 3 years here. Like, it's not like you can wake up at 30 and say, now I'm all of a sudden going to be a rock star.
Right.
So I'll say 15%.
The Toronto Raptors trade Kyle Lowry at some point this season.
Well, Kyle has not had a great year. You know, he has kind of been a microcosm of the team. He's been inconsistent. Defensively, he's been okay. Made some big, you know, defensive plays. He's still got the leadership. He's still got the drive train. But offensively, it hasn't been great, and the team hasn't been so great.
I'm going to say 0% on this because I don't think – I think when Kyle Lowry, this thing happened, I think he could have sent a memo pretty quickly saying, look, this is looking like a transition year. We're going down to Tampa. If this is garbage, then I'm out. But I don't think he did that. I think that maybe he just doesn't sign an extension and he signs somewhere else next year, and that's how he possibly leaves the Raptors. But kind of jumping ship this year in the move down to Tampa, I don't think that he would want to do that to the city of Toronto, and that would be – I don't think he would want his exit like that.
No.
So I'm going to say 0%.
Wow. I think I'm higher than 0%. I think there's a chance if it goes south that they move him for younger players that that are headed in the right direction. I also am not 100% convinced. I said this to Steph, I think, last night. That Masai's here. I think he's running for the hills. I'm telling you. I don't know why.
It's gone awfully quiet here for a while.
That's a separate conversation.
And quiet's not good in these types of matters.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm not convinced that Masai's here for the long haul either. He got his championship. You know, now that they're younger, they're cycling through. He might allow somebody else to do that. But when it comes to Kyle, you got to put your business hat on. And if they're going to be on the cusp of the playoffs or maybe not or whatever, you've got to look at the future of the organization, and he would get you something.
He would. He absolutely would. So, and his deal's up at the end of the year. What's your number?
71%.
Wow, that's extremely high. I'm going to go in between the two of you here. I'm not at 0%, even though I agree with what O was saying in terms of Lowry's commitment. The team is still in pursuit of a playoff spot. This isn't happening in the next 48 hours. But it would have to be, okay, team's falling off, not making the playoffs or just getting in, don't feel great. But also Lowry probably stepping in and saying, I'm cool with this. Let's make something happen here. Can you send me to Philly, who's having a really good year? Mm-hmm. Maybe the Clippers, you know, Kawhi and Serge, they're reaching out. I'm willing to go there. But I think – you also have to take into consideration what you said, Noodles, where it's still a business, and Masai traded DeRozan. You know, he will make a trade if he feels like it's in the best interest of his team, and that's what he should do. That's what he's employed to do, and he'll take the bullets that come with that. I'll say 10%. You know, I'm really low on this. I can't picture him going out like that. I can't picture them quitting on the season also if they're close to a playoff spot. They might feel like if we get in, Magic can be there, we'll do it again. But I can never say never. I'll say 10%.
What if Mahomes or Brady wins the Super Bowl MVP? I've only come across Tom Brady once in my career. You guessed it. Orchids of Asia.
That's not true. That's not true.
You never know. You never know. By the way, this is the worst Jerry's of all time, because I'd like some stats on this. When has the MVP not been the winning quarterback in the last? It's an automatic. It's 100%. Whoever wins the Super Bowl, the quarterback's the MVP. Come on.
Well,
it's dumb.
It's that is not accurate. I mean,
when's the last time a guy won the MVP of the Super Bowl that wasn't the quarterback of the winning team?
I'm trying to remember.
Like, didn't New England have a? Edelman.
Edelman won it. I think Edelman might have won it. Yeah, I'd have to look it up. Probably 80-90% of MVP winners at the Super Bowl are one of their two quarterbacks.
Right.
But what if Tyreek Hill goes off for 200 yards? Like Jerry Rice, I know, won a Super Bowl MVP. And if Hill goes off, if Kelsey goes off, if Le'Veon Bell returns and goes off, if, you know, whoever it is, Ronald Jones, if any of these guys go off, any of these star kind, even pass rushers can get in there if they have a monster night. It's rare. But you got to have a monster night. Let's say you got a cornerback who gets two or three picks, two picks and recovers a fumble. It's a lower scoring game. Like, there are ways to see it happening. But I'll say 90% one of these two are going to win.
Yeah.
I got to go with 90%.
Oh, was 100?
Yeah, he's at 100%.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that because this is the storyline. Doesn't matter. Like Brady, if Brady wins, doesn't matter if he just handed off the whole time. He's
especially the pedigree of these two quarterbacks. They could be average, and they're getting the MVP trophy because of all the fanfare, all the attention. It's a slam dunk. It's 100%.
I'm 88%.
Yeah, and you should be. I'm looking at it right now. Edelman did win it 2 years ago. He had 10 catches, 141 yards. It was a low-scoring game. Brady didn't play so well. Von Miller won it when Denver won the Super Bowl. He had 6 tackles, 2.5 sacks, pass defended. Malcolm Smith won it for Seattle, linebacker. Santonio Holmes won it for Pittsburgh back in the day about 12, 13 years ago.
We get it.
Deion Branch. There are guys that win it, but that you just said every single year.
Jerry
it's
Rice.
Guys.
I think
it's
Jerry
also
Rice.
A hall with plaques in it. It's a hall with plaques in it, too.
Well, dude, get your facts straight. That's quite literal, and this is too. So I'm gonna double down on 90%.
Yeah, I'll break your wrists if you do that again during Jerry's. Next.
The Jays have at least one trade lined up this offseason to bolster the pitching staff.
Yeah, well, according to Mark Shapiro, he said, you know, the heavy lifting is done, but you think they're going to make a deal? It's been all signings for the most part so far. And could they get in the market for a trade at some point between now and the beginning of the season?
When he says the heavy lifting is done, I think it's done. I'm going to say 25%. If anything, they'll sniff around and bring in somebody like that lefty Ray that they did last year, and it's just going to be nonsense or wait and see type thing. 25%.
Now, I think there's one more. I think when you're looking, you're sitting back and looking at your roster, whether you're happy with it or there's still a little bit of tinkering, somebody's going to come floating across your desk that you may not have thought would be available.
Yeah, that can happen.
I think there is a little. I still think there's potential for one more move there.
Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, I think Jerry said trade, but if we're talking just an addition via some sort of transaction, then I got to be pretty high on that.
That's what I mean. I think there's – okay, trade, but
– trades but there is, makes it more specific, but if it's just a transaction, acquiring someone who's going to pitch for you.
Exactly.
I'm high on it.
I'm on it too.
90%. And I think you got to also remember, let's say you get to spring training and someone blows their arm out. You know, and then all of a sudden you really got to adjust on the fly. Then you might have to make that deal that you weren't planning on, you know, making. Things can happen between now and opening night. So, yeah, I'm going to be relatively high on that. We got a couple more we'll get to when we come back. We'll save one for Jerry's After Dark. We haven't done that in a long time either. I think we got to circle back on Jerry's After Dark. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. George Springer will join us in 15 minutes. We're really looking forward to catching up with George. And he was introduced to the media earlier today. He's officially a Blue Jay, locked in long term. He'll be hitting leadoff. He'll be playing center field. He brings in championship pedigree. There's a lot to get into with him. So George Springer will join us in about 15 minutes. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. We got to make our picks for the Farmers tomorrow. Torrey Pines, too.
I got a guy in mind. You're picking first.
Well, I mean, the way this worked out is a few weeks ago we started this. You just sent me a text on Tuesday night saying, I'm taking DJ. And it was like, okay, I guess you go first this week. I'll go first next. And I think last week you had the first pick. So I got someone in mind.
I got somebody in mind,
DJ?
Too.
Would DJ be the number one pick?
I'm not sure he's playing in this tournament.
There he is either. But we've got to spice it up a little bit where there's something won or lost either way. Because to pick the actual winner,
it's not tough.
Like the Tiger Woods days where it's like this guy's winning or it's Phil or it's Ernie after him. There's a handful of 20 guys that, you know, although it, like when DJ and it gets down to the FedEx Cup, they seem to be the same guys on top of the leaderboard. But it's tough to pick the winner. So we got to figure out something to grease it up to make it juicy at the end.
I kind of think we could do something like you pick the winner, and then you got to pick a guy who is top 20 in the world that you think is going to miss the cut. And if that guy misses the cut, that's worth
now,
a little
see,
bit
of
change.
Now, see, what I was thinking of, like my situation, Patrick Reed did not make the cut. I should be able to spend money to go to the top five guys in the tournament and pick somebody if
like
needed.
Like a rebuy, basically. You want to buy back into the tournament.
Something.
Okay, well, we could talk about that. I'll make my pick right now. I'm going to take McElroy this weekend.
I'll take John Rahm if he's in the tournament.
Yeah, he is. I believe the Rombo is in there with his new Travis Matthew gear and
bad gear
Callaway.
Now. Bad gear.
You don't like it? Oh, Travis Matthew's unreal. I love their gear. It's outstanding.
Dude, but I have no idea how anybody – we've talked about it before. What, somebody tell us the amount that Callaway offered him, because I don't know how you switch from TaylorMade golf clubs to Callaway. I have no idea. They must have offered him $100 million.
They did. They must have offered him a fortune. I'm sure his deal was – I'm sure we could get to the bottom of that, but we discussed it before. Like, TaylorMade's got Tiger, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy.
Rory.
Like, those are their big three.
Dustin Johnson.
Right. Yeah, Rahm probably wasn't getting paid nearly as much as those three clearly, and Callaway must have stepped in and said, you know, we'll pay you what they're paying DJ because we need a top three guy in the world, and that's what he is.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, you better get your game in order, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep, I'm working on my short game in the basement in between breaks. I feel good about where it's going. So if I ever have a chip that needs to go 10 yards off a carpet, I'm going to be on fire come the summer and the spring. All right, final hour coming up. Jerry's After Dark. George Springer at 6:05. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson. You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-aided.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.